Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you. We ask that you manifest in us the gift that Jesus gave all of us on the cross, brother. And Lord, we ask for your enabling power to put it in us, Lord. We thank you, Father, that we don't do anything but speak the words that you have us to speak. We speak only as an oracle of God. Lord, we thank you for your healing and your deliverance power that you've given each one of us, the authority over all the power of the enemy. We praise you, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that you teach us not to speak out of our hip pocket, but to only speak when we're supposed to. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to be with us tonight. Your anointing is going to be on each one of us. And Father, we praise you for that. Lord, I just thank you that you're teaching us how to walk this walk that you've got us on, and not to get discouraged when things happen that we don't think that you ordained. Sometimes we just get off in the left field there, Lord, thinking that it's all the devil when it is nothing but you, Lord. And you do it because you love us and you bring us around to that great awakening of where we're dead and only Jesus in us is alive. And I praise you for that, Father. Lord, you've taught us how to praise you in the bad times. You've taught us how to praise you in the good times. It's not too hard to praise you in the good times, Lord. It's in the bad times that we need teaching in that, Lord, because sometimes we get too discouraged. But, Father, I know that you've told us that we praise you in all things. We praise you on the mountaintop, and we're supposed to praise you in the valleys too, Lord. And that's what we're going to do. We're going, as you bring it to our memory, when bad things start happening around us, we're going to praise you, because we know that all things work together for the good to those who love you, Lord. And we thank you for it. We praise you, Father, that tonight's going to be a special time with you, Lord. And I praise you for it. And I thank you, Lord, for everybody that's in attendance tonight and all those that are listening. And, Lord, we just ask and we pray that you anoint everyone on this fellowship tonight to speak and to say the things that you've placed in their heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, all right. You know, just as a little side note, in this last chapter of The Tongue Conquers the Curse, they mention a book by Merlin Carruthers called The Power in Praise, Power in Praise. And I had heard about it before, but I didn't remember it. And so I went online and I found it and downloaded it, and I started reading it, and I was amazed. I remember reading something about this a long time ago, and I guess it was when I first read The Power of the Tongue. But, boy, I tell you what, it got me hipped up. It got me powered up to start speaking positively, even in negative times. You know what I'm talking about? Yes, we just praise God in all circumstances. Remember when Paul and Barnabas got thrown in jail, and then they started praising God at midnight? What happened? They had a great big old earthquake, didn't it? Now, I'm just telling you, I'm getting excited now. Amen. All right. We'll talk about it a little bit. Has anybody got any prayer requests? How about testimony or praise report? Well, I'll tell you this. I got a praise report. I'll tell you this. It has been 1 week for David and I. You know, as you know, the website went down. And, of course, David and I are real techies. We know everything there is to know about, everything there is to know about when it comes to computers and software and all that kind of stuff, you know. And we were just kind of left high and dry, not knowing, you know, anything about it, actually. So we just rested in the Lord. You know, Lord, if you want it up, you have to get it up. But we sure can't. And then, of course, we got a call from a friend, and they had a son that knew computers, and he was out of work and wanted to know if he couldn't be of some help, you know. And, of course, we snatched on to him just like nothing, nobody's business, you know. We snatched him right out. Oh, yeah, absolutely, brother. What do you need? How much you – what do you want, you know? What do you need from us, you know? So we got together, and, man, I'm telling you, within just a little while, he had the website back up. And it's not an easy thing, I can tell you that, because what had happened, somebody had gone in there and snatched out portions of the website program, the index part of it, and just left us high and dry. So he went in there and found out the pages that were missing and went over to our mirror site and took those out of there and put them back in the other one. Now, you know, of course, I know y'all know what I'm talking about. I just barely do myself, me being the techie that I am. Anyway, he fixed it, got it up. It's not exactly like it was before. And then, of course, David bought a new computer because his computer was so old that the software that he had on there actually was not really compatible with anything else that we had going on. So he got that going, and we've been struggling with trying to get everything set up on his computer to do the broadcasts and do the things that we have to do. He has to do on that thing. He likes his email set up just a certain way, you know. You know how you can have he has to have everything where it's handy for him so he can get to it real quick, you know. And that's what we're doing now. Yesterday we spent, it wasn't too long. I don't know, 8 or 10 hours, I guess, trying to set up FileZilla. We got that going. Finally, we rejoiced over that. Then today we just kind of went out and did some stuff we had to do. And we came back this afternoon after praying and said, Lord, we don't want to mess with this stuff very long. And within 2 hours, we had the other things set up and going good. So God's been showing us grace. We're getting things back to normal. We're not quite there yet, but we're still plugging away at it. So we just praise God for all of his help. Lord, I thank you that you are helping us. I thank you, Lord, for this trial that you put us in, because you're making us stronger men and women of God in light of it, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for all these trials that you've put us in. Sometimes we get frustrated, Lord, but we know that we're getting frustrated for nothing, because you're going to fix it in your time. And Father, we know that, and we thank you for it, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that it's all going to be fixed just in time. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, all right. Anybody else? Pat, did you get my text? My email?
I don't know.
That's the wrong answer.
you sent
that revival thing to me, and what I said in the email sent back to you was that I'd ask that you, if you wanted to, you could read that tonight. I think that's a wonderful thing to read. That's the Tommy Hicks thing.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Let me see if anybody else has got anything.
You know what? I don't see a reply. So you must have.
No, easy. Let me see. Let me make sure I sent it. Well, it doesn't make any difference. I'll tell you what I replied back to you. I asked you to go ahead and read it if you would. Let's see if it got sent out.
Remember, Pat, he's a techie.
That's right, buddy. Don't you never, ever forget it. It got sent out.
You know what? Yeah. I'm sorry. You sent it over. I have that email address that you sent it to is what I use to catch all my junk. I'll send you my updated email address so you have it.
What is that? You send me your junk email address.
That didn't come out right, did it?
That's okay. I'm going to rejoice in that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Now, what we're talking about, he sent me a link to, or sent me the revival list from Andrew Strom, and I already received it, by the way, which is awesome. I like to read it when I get time. But it had the vision, or I can't remember, was it a vision or a dream?
Yeah, vision of the body of Christ and the end time ministries.
Yeah, Tommy Hicks had.
Yeah.
Yeah, a long time ago.
I've never heard of him, but.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of him a long time. Yeah. But anyway, maybe a little bit later he can recite that because it is awesome. It's an awesome vision that he had at the end time.
Yeah, it so closely resembled what David teaches and exactly what we're going through right now. That it was
yeah.
So
amen.
Yeah.
All right.
While I'm unmuted, the Lord led me to a job. So
praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I got an offer today, and then I have another interview on Friday. So give me two jobs to.
Okay.
Make a decision by, but that's cool. So
thank you, Lord.
Thank
Amen.
You, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else with a testimony or a praise report? Tracy, you all for lunch? Okay. Praise God.
Yeah, it's good too.
Looked like it's a pretty day out there too.
Oh, it's beautiful in Missouri, you know. Praise God. Hey, I do have a prayer request, Michael, now that I'm thinking about it. You know, I help answer emails and Facebook and all that for a whole bunch of different ministries. And this woman said that her and her family are getting attacked, you know, and that's typical. So I asked her, you know, first question I asked, are you born again Christian? And her surprise kind of, you know, I talked to a lot of people, and her response kind of got me. She said, no, but I'm a born-again Catholic. And I went, what? I don't know, and I'm just like, you know, okay.
Well, why don't you,
like,
become a born-again Christian, for goodness sake?
Right? It confused me. So I'm just thinking, where do I go with this, you know, because... And I asked her, I said, do you pray to Mary? She goes, oh, no, I'd never do that. And I'm thinking, what? So, anyways, I'm talking to the lady a little bit more, trying to find out, you know, more information. But I need prayer for that one. I don't know. Yeah. She's got me, man. Yeah. You know?
She sounds like she probably came to some truth, even though she's still in the Catholic Church.
Go ahead, Mary.
Your Vice President, Pence, is a born-again Catholic, too. Okay, he's an evangelical Catholic. It means he's accepted the Lord and believes in the gifts, but he still goes through Catholicism. And I don't understand that either, but there's lots of people like that.
So. Well, there was a sect here years ago that were charismatic in the Catholic Church,
right,
that the Pope had a fit with at first, and then he found out that a bunch of them were doing it, so he just accepted it, you know, being the universal church that they are,
right,
and they accepted it. So, yeah, there's some charismatics in the Catholic religion that are born again.
Wow. Now, I've never ran into that. Maybe it's just me. I mean, you know, I didn't come out of religion. I came out of witchcraft, so, you know, I'm not familiar with all these terms, but yeah, I'm trying to figure out, you know, I'm just trying to figure out where am I sending her? You know, if I send a Catholic to these guys for deliverance, you know, she's going to get offended. You know what I'm saying? you know?
Well, what I'd do is just ask her, what is your belief system as far as deliverance and healing and that type of thing? You know, do you believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You know, just kind of search her out, you know.
Yeah, I'm talking to her. I'm just hoping I don't offend her. I don't want to offend her, but, you know, I got to ask, you know.
Best thing to do is not to give her a whole lot at first, just kind of show a lot of grace and give her a little bit, because if you flood her up with a lot of info, she's going to back off of that, you know. I just give her a little bit at a time.
That's right. Like I said, I'm just trying to figure out where I'm going to send her, you know. you know what I'm saying. There's some, there's little different areas and groups and ministries that help out, and there's just some that are, like you said, really loving and graceful. I'm like, oh, she's going there, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Tracy, what was she getting attacked from?
That's an interesting question. Let me look. She said, hi, Tracy, my name is Yvonne. I met your sister here on Facebook. There's another woman that, you know, if somebody needs deliverance, she'll, like I said, they, you know, and I'll just get them to where they're supposed to be going, you know. Let's see. She told me to contact you to pray for me and my husband and 4 children. So, you know, I don't know, is a husband, you know, even involved? I don't know. We are being attacked. I believe I'm under a spell that my cousin's wife put on him, but I read a journal. It's spelling's kind of weird here. It says him, but I read a journal she left for him, and ever since that day, I've been grieved and sorrow and perversion. I'm distraught, sad, confused. Please help me. And that, you know, that's when all the dialogue here came. Her last note. She said, yeah, I'm a born-again Catholic and attend Christian ministries. I used to be very active in my friend's ministry, which is Christian. And I'm thinking, what? You know, that blew me away, you know. I hear a lot of stuff, but, I mean, I people skin crawl and everything, and this woman, a born-again Catholic, I'm like, what? But I said, do you pray to Mary? I said, okay, I see. Do you pray to Mary? She said, no, I have respect for a blessed mother because she is our Savior's mother. I said, yes, I understand. But what about the rosary? I'm just trying to figure out where you're at with Catholicism. You know, trying not to offend her. She said, well, I used to say it, but I'm not sure if I'm supposed to. I know the Catholic Bible has so many missing books. I read King James Bible. So, you know, my question is, why is she not a born-again Christian, you know?
Yeah. Well, you might teach salvation, show her where salvation is, you know, and it's through Jesus Christ and Him only. That's the only way. Repent and believe is what He said. Just repent and believe.
Yeah, so
just
take
the simple way.
Right, and I want to figure out where her husband's at, because if her husband's involved, then you know what I'm saying. I just want to get my job is to greet them and get them to where they're supposed to be going.
There
so,
you go.
Know, yeah, especially if it's a family with you know, a husband and all that.
Yeah. You said anyway. Her husband had a wife?
you're so silly. But, yeah, uh-huh. You know what I'm saying. So,
okay.
Anyway,
yeah. Keep me in prayer. All right, yeah. Okay. Well, Lord, we just thank you for giving Tracy wisdom to know where to send this lady. And, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that the people that you do send these people to, that they will show her the way. And, Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You can tell her to come over here.
Amen. Hey, yeah. I can do that, you know.
Yeah.
There's also that book, Deliver from Dark Powers.
Yeah.
We have.
What's Amen. That book?
Deliver from Dark Powers.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that.
That's the one on site, too. He's talking about one of David's book.
Oh, okay.
It's a PDF file. Yeah.
All right. Anybody else? Thank you, Tracy. Anybody else? Yeah, Tim, go ahead, bro.
Okay, details are kind of sketchy, but Tosh asked for one of her friends, Jess's mom, who's had a run-in with the law, and apparently there's a child injured up in Canada somewhere, but we don't know many details, but we asked for peace. For her name was Lily, and her friend and her friend's mother and for Tasha, they'd all be peace, and that they'll know that the Lord is watching out for them out in the end, and that they don't need to worry or be stressed out about it. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, anybody else? Trying to figure out who everybody is. Yep. Anybody else got a testimony, praise report, or would like to pray? Okay, Pat, go for it, brother.
Michael, did you do something? Did something happen with the video screen, or did something change? Because the picture,
you did what?
Picture is bigger.
Well, you go up to the upper right hand corner there. See where it says speaker view?
Yeah.
You can touch on that, and it'll change it.
Yeah, no, it's like the pictures within the whole picture is bigger. Well, whatever, it doesn't matter. So you want me to read that letter?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Let me pull it up here. All right. This was, it was just titled The Vision of the Body of Christ and the End Time Ministries by Tommy Hicks. My message begins July 25th, about 2:30 in the morning at Winnipeg, Canada. I had hardly fallen asleep when the vision of the revelation that God gave me came before me. The vision came three times exactly in detail. The morning of July 25th, 1961. I was so stirred and so moved by the revelation that this has changed my complete outlook upon the body of Christ and upon the end time ministries. The greatest thing that the Church of Jesus Christ has ever been given lies straight ahead. It is so hard to help men and women to realize and understand the thing that God is trying to give his people in these end times. I received a letter several weeks ago from one of our native evangelists down in Africa, down in Nairobi. This man and his wife were on their way to Tanganyika. They could neither read nor could they write, but we had been supporting them for over 2 years as they entered into the territory of Tanganyika. They came across a small village. The entire village was evacuating. Oh, I'm sorry. The entire village was evacuating because of a plague that had hit the village. He came across natives that were weeping, and he asked them what was wrong. They told him of their mother and father who had suddenly died, and they had been dead for 3 days. They had to leave. They were afraid to go in, and they were leaving them in the cottage. He turned and asked them where they were. They pointed to the hut, and he asked them to go with him, but they refused. They were afraid to go. The native and his wife went into the little cottage and entered in where the man and woman had been dead for 3 days. He simply stretched forth his hand in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and spoke the man's name and the woman's name and said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command life to come back into your bodies. Instantaneously, these two heathen people who had never known Jesus Christ as their Savior sat up and immediately began to praise God. The Spirit and the power of God came into the life of these people. To us, that may seem strange and a phenomenon, but that is the beginning of these end-time ministries. God is going to take the do-nothings, the nobodies, the unheard of, the no-accounts. He's going to take every man and every woman. He is going to give to them this outpouring of the Spirit of God. In the book of Acts, we read that in the last days, God said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. I wonder if we realize what he meant when God said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. I do not think I fully realized, nor could I understand, the fullness of it. And then I read from the book of Joel, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain. Joel 2:23. It is not only to be the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain, but he's going to give to his people in these last days a double portion of the power of God. As the vision appeared to me, after I was asleep, I suddenly found myself in a great high distance. Where I was, I do not know, but I was looking down upon the earth. Suddenly, the whole earth came into my view. Every nation, every kindred, every tongue came before my sight from the east to the west, the north and the south. I recognized every country and many cities that I had been in. I was almost in fear and trembling as I beheld the great sight before me. And at that moment, when the world came into view, it began to lightning and thunder. As the lightning flashed over the face of the earth, my eyes went downward, and I was facing the north. Suddenly, I beheld what looked like a great giant. And as I stared and looked at it, I was almost bewildered by the sight. It was so gigantic and so great. His feet seemed to reach the North Pole and his head to the south. His arms were stretched from sea to sea. I could not even begin to understand whether this be a mountain or this be a giant. But as I watched, I suddenly beheld a great giant. I could see his head was struggling for life. He wanted to live, but his body was covered with debris from head to foot. And at times, this great giant would move his body and act as though it would even raise up at times. And when it did, thousands of little creatures seemed to run away. Hideous creatures would run away from this giant, and when he would come back and he would become calm, then they would come back. All of a sudden, this great giant lifted his hand toward heaven, and then it lifted its other hand. And when it did, these creatures by the thousands seemed to flee away from this giant and go into the darkness of the night. Slowly, this great giant began to rise, and as he did, his head and hands went into the clouds. As he rose to his feet, he seemed to have cleansed himself from the debris and filth that was upon him, and he began to raise his hands into the heavens as though praising the Lord. And as he raised his hands, they went even unto the clouds. Suddenly, every cloud became silver, the most beautiful silver I have ever known. As I watched this phenomena, it was so great, I could not even begin to understand what it all meant. I was so stirred as I watched it, and I cried unto the Lord, and I said, O Lord, what is the meaning of this? And I felt as if I was actually in the spirit. I could feel the presence of the Lord even as I was asleep. And from those clouds, suddenly there came great drops of liquid light raining down upon this mighty giant. And slowly, slowly this giant began to melt, began to sink itself into the very earth itself. And as he melted, his whole form seemed to have melted upon the face of the earth. And this great rain began to come down. Liquid drops of light began to flood the very earth itself. And as I watched this giant that seemed to melt, suddenly it became millions of people over the face of the earth. As I beheld the sight before me, people stood up all over the world. They were lifting their hands and they were praising the Lord. At that very moment, there came a great thunder that seemed to roar from the heavens. I turned my eyes toward the heavens, and suddenly I saw a figure in white, in glistening white, the most glorious thing I have ever seen in my entire life. I did not see the face, but somehow I knew it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he stretched forth his hand, and as he did, he would stretch it forth to one and to another and to another. And as he stretched forth his hand upon the nations and the people of the world, men and women, as he pointed toward them, this liquid light seemed to flow from his hands into them, and a mighty anointing of God came upon them. And those people began to go forth in the name of the Lord. I do not know how long I watched it. It seemed it went into days and weeks and months. And I beheld this Christ as he continued to stretch forth his hand, but there was a tragedy. There were many people as he stretched forth his hand that refused the anointing of God and the call of God. I saw men and women that I knew, people that I felt would certainly receive the call of God. But as he stretched forth his hand toward this one and toward that one, they simply bowed their head and began to back away. And each of those that seemed to bow down and back away seemed to go into darkness. Blackness seemed to swallow them everywhere. I was bewildered as I watched it, but these people that he had anointed, hundreds and thousands of people all over the world, in Africa, England, Russia, China, America, all over the world, in the anointing of God was upon these people as they went forward in the name of the Lord. I saw these men and women as they went forth. They were ditch diggers. They were washerwomen. They were rich men. They were poor men. I saw people who were bound with paralysis and sickness and blindness and deafness. As the Lord stretched forth to give them this anointing, they became well and they became healed and they went forth. Praise the Lord. And this is the miracle of it. This is the glorious miracle of it. Those people would stretch forth their hands exactly as the Lord did. and it seemed as if there was the same liquid fire in their hands. As they stretched forth their hands, they said, "According to my word, be thou made whole." And these people continued in this mighty end-time ministry. I did not fully realize what it was, and I looked to the Lord and said, "What is the meaning of this?" And he said, "This is that which I will do in the last days. I will restore all that the cankerworm and the palmerworm and the caterpillar. I will restore all that they have destroyed. This, my people, in the end times will go forth as a mighty army, shall they sweep over the face of the earth." As I was at this great height, I could behold the whole world. I watched these people as they were going to and fro over the face of the earth. Suddenly, there was a man in Africa, and in a moment, he was transported by the Spirit of God. And perhaps he was in Russia or China or America or some other place, and vice versa. All over the world, these people went, and they came through fire and through pestilence and through famine. Neither fire nor persecution, nothing seemed to stop them. Angry mobs came to them with swords and with guns, and like Jesus, they passed through the multitudes as they could not find them. But they went forth in the name of the Lord, and everywhere they stretched forth their hands, the sick were healed, the blind eyes were opened. There was not a long prayer, and after I had reviewed the vision many times in my mind, and I had thought about it many times, I realized that I never saw a church. I never saw or heard a denomination. But these people were going in the name of the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. As they marched forth in everything, they did as the ministry of Christ in the end times. These people were ministering to the multitudes over the face of the earth. Tens of thousands, even millions seemed to come to the Lord Jesus Christ as these people stood forth and gave the message of the kingdom, of the coming kingdom in this last hour. It was so glorious, but it seemed as though there were those that rebelled, and they would become an angry, and they tried to attack those workers that were giving the message. God is going to give the world a demonstration in this last hour, as the world has never known. These men and women are all of all walks of life, degrees will mean nothing. I saw these workers as they were going over the face of the earth. When one would stumble and fall, another would come and pick them up. There were no big I and little you, but every mountain was brought low and every valley was exalted. And they seemed to have one thing in common. There was a divine love that seemed to flow forth from these people as they worked together and they lived together. It was the most glorious sight that I have ever known. Jesus Christ was the theme of their life. They continued and it seemed for days went by as they stood and beheld this sight. I could only cry, and sometimes I laughed. It was so wonderful as these people went throughout the face of the whole earth, bringing forth in his last time. As I watched from the very heaven itself, there were times when great deluges of this liquid light seemed to fall upon the great congregations, and that congregation would lift up their hands and seemingly praise God for hours and even days as the Spirit of God came upon them. God said, "I will pour my Spirit upon all flesh, and that's exactly, and that is exactly this thing. And to every man and to every woman that receives this power and this anointing of God, the miracles of God, there was no ending to it. We talked about miracles. We talked about signs and wonders, but I could not help but to weep as I read again this morning at 4 o'clock, this letter of our native workers. This is the only evidence of the beginning for one man, a do-nothing and unheard of, who would go out and stretch forth his hand to say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command life to flow into your body. I dropped to my knees and I began to pray again. I said, Lord, I know that this time is coming soon. And then again, as these people were going about in the face of the earth, a great persecution seemed to come from every angle. Suddenly, there was another clap of thunder that seemed to be to resound around the world. And I heard again the voice that seemed to speak, now this is my people. This is my beloved bride. And when the voice spoke, I looked upon the earth and I could see the lakes and the mountains, and the graves were opened, and people from all over the world, the saints of all ages, seemed to be rising. And as they rose from the grave, suddenly all these people come from every direction, from the east and the west and the north and the south. They seem to be forming again a gigantic body. As the dead in Christ seemed to be rising first, I could hardly comprehend it. It was so marvelous. I was so far beyond anything I had ever dreamt or think of. But as this body suddenly began to form and take shape again, it took shape again in the form of this mighty giant. But this time it was different. It was arrayed in the most beautiful, gorgeous white. Its garments were without spot or wrinkle as its body began to form, and the people of all ages seemed to be gathered into this body. And slowly, slowly, as it began to form up into the very heavens, suddenly from the heavens above, the Lord Jesus came and became the head. And I heard another clap of thunder that said, this is my beloved bride for whom I have waited. She will come forth even tried by fire. This is she that I have loved from the beginning of time. As I watched, my eyes suddenly turned to the far north, and I saw seemingly destruction, men and women in anguish and crying out, and buildings in destruction. Then I heard again the fourth voice that said, now is my wrath being poured out upon the face of the earth. From the ends of the whole world, the wrath of God seemed to be poured out, and it seemed that there were great vials of God's wrath being poured out upon the face of the earth. I can remember it as though it happened a moment ago. I shook and trembled as I beheld the awful sight of seeing the cities and the whole nations going down into destruction. I could hear the weeping and wailing. I could hear people crying. They seemed to cry as they went into caves, but in the caves, the mountains opened up. They leaped into the water, but the water could not drown them. There was nothing that could destroy them. They were wanting to take their lives, but they could not. Then again, I turned my eyes to this glorious sight, the body arrayed in beautiful white, shining garments. Slowly, slowly it became began to lift from the earth, and as it did, I awoke. What a sight I had beheld! I had seen the end time ministries, the last hour. Again on July 27th at 2:30 in the morning, the same revelation, the same vision, exactly as it did before. My life has been changed as I realized that we are not living in that we are living in that end time. For all over the world, God is anointing men and women with this ministry. It will not be doctrine. It will not be churchianity. It is going to be Jesus Christ. They will give forth the word of the Lord and are going to say, I heard it so many times in the vision, and according to my word, it shall be done. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it seemed like it went right along with what the word of God says, didn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's all right. And that was in 1961. That's 58 years ago.
Yep.
Praise God. Tommy Hooks, by the way, was the guy that spearheaded the Argentine revival way back when. Amen. I thought y'all enjoyed that. I did. I really got a lot out of that. It's not going to be a me kind of revival. It's going to be a Jesus only. That's all. That's all that's going to get to glory. It's not going to be Jesse Duplantis begging for money for a bigger jet. It's going to be Jesus. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be Jesus. And just like he said, it's going to be the nobodies. It's going to be the ones who nobody knows about that has the power. Just like that couple that went in that hut to bring mom and daddy back to life. That's the way it's going to be. Praise God. Boy, I'm excited. I get excited when I hear those type of things. Because I know it's going to happen. Amen. Anybody got any comments? Anybody in here ready for a revival? Ooh, glory to God, I am. I'll tell you what, I'm excited about it because I know what's fixing to happen. God's going to populate heaven in this end-time revival. Going to populate heaven in this end-time revival. There's a mansion up there waiting for every one of us. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. That was awesome. Thank you, Pat. Glad you brought that out. Anybody got any question?
Yeah, what do you read that from, Tommy Hicks? Is that a...
That's a vision of his. It's on revival. Oh, gosh.
You said there's other ones, too?
Other ones what?
You said there was a guy that had a bunch of them all together, you said, revival ones? Or that was just that one?
No, I didn't say anything like that.
Okay, okay.
All I said was that Tommy Hicks, the guy that had the vision, was the one that was spearheading the Argentine revival back some years ago. Back in, I don't think it was the 60s. Might have been in the 50s, but I think it was the 60s. Okay. Any question on this end time stuff? You know what's going to bring it in is praising God. That's what's going to be praising God. We just got through with the tongue and the curse. And the last chapter of it is called Praise and Thanksgiving. And that's just awesome the way God has been bringing these Bible studies together with exactly what we're going through in times. So let me read you a few things here. The Apostle Paul tells us, let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for edifying as the need may be, or building up the need, that it may give grace to them that hear. Ephesians 4:21. So the words that come out of our mouth must be words of grace. But sometimes people have a misunderstanding of what grace is. Listen to this. Grace can be chastening or even hard words that need to be said to people. Grace is what we need from God, his favor. And we should consider even God's chastening as favor, because he chastens every son which he receives. Hebrews 12:6 tells us that. I certainly want chastening if I need it to turn and serve the Lord. Everybody should want that chastening. Don't ever turn down correction, because correction is what God has put on us to get us back in the fold, you know. The best way, I believe, to not have corrupt speech come out of our mouth is to obey in giving thanks always, not just in the good times, giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things. I'm sure that bothers some people, because they don't think all things come from God. In fact, there is a theology, and I came out of that theology, that out there, that everything good comes from God. I've heard preachers say that. Here's the gospel, folks. God is good, devil is bad. Anybody ever heard that? Yep. If any of you are parents, sometimes you... If any of you are parents, sometimes you know that you have to give things to your children which people don't think are good, such as sometimes spanking them. The devil is very good at that. Now, we look, you can see in the book of Job that Job had some self-righteousness, and it really took the devil to bring it out and make him willing to repent. And the devil got permission from God to chasten Job, who came out of it, and he was a better man for it. Ephesians 1:11. In whom also we were made a heritage, having been foreordained according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. All things, don't leave nothing out. Our Lord works all things after the counsel of his will, and all things together for our good. Romans 8:28. And we know that to them that love God, all things work together for good, even to them that are called according to his purposes. God is the only one to whom the Bible attributes sovereignty. The devil is only permitted to do things because mankind permits him to do them. And it's part of God's law. If we choose the devil, you get him for a while to chasten you and to motivate us to repent and turn to God. We can give thanks for all things because they all come from God. John 3:27, a man can receive nothing except it have been given him from heaven. Ultimately, it all comes from God. Everything comes from God. The devil is just a tool that God uses in his toolbox to mature us. When we're turned over to the devil, that's when Paul turned a man over to the devil. He did it because he wanted the man saved, didn't he? 1 Corinthians 5:5, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And that's a good purpose. So it all ultimately comes from God. God tells us that he works all things together for our good. When he says this, it means the good and the bad that come our way are for our good, even if something bad comes to each of us to teach us to use our faith against the bad. And I wanted to read that just so you'll understand that the Word of God tells us that the bad and the good come from God. God said, I make evil and I make good. I create evil and I create good. That's what the Lord says. So that's something that we all need to keep in our mind when these circumstances come up before. We got bad things happen to us. You need to look at yourself. We all need to look at ourselves. And we just need to praise God. And I got a couple other things that I want to go over with you tonight, too. And that's praise and thanksgiving. We've been in a little bit of that, too. Praise and thanksgiving. Hang on just a second. So that's where we are right now. We praise God in the bad and the good. If you do that and you praise God for the circumstances you're in, when you're in them right then, guess what will happen? He'll bring you out of it. Let me read you some testimonies. Whoop, where'd y'all go? I lost you just there for a minute. That's my fault. I'm taking this from Power and Praise by Merlin Carruthers. Power and Praise. It says, Jim's father had been an alcoholic for 30 years. All those years, Jim's mother and later Jim and his young wife had prayed that God would heal him, but with no apparent result. Jim's father refused to admit that he had a problem with alcohol and stalked out in anger if anyone ever mentioned religion to him. One day, Jim heard me speak about the power that is released when we begin to praise God for everything in our lives instead of only pleading with him to change the circumstances that hurt us. And it struck him that he had never tried praising God for his father's condition. Excitedly, he shared the thought with his wife. Honey, let's thank God that Dad's alcohol is part of his wonderful plan for Dad's life. Now get that. That's contrary to what we've been taught. For the rest of that day, they gave thanks and praised God for every aspect of the situation. And by evening, they felt a new sense of excitement and expectation. The next day, the parents came over for the usual Sunday dinner visit. Always before, Jim's father had cut the visit as short as possible, leaving right after dinner. This time, over a cup of coffee, he suddenly asked a pointed question. What do you think about this Jesus revolution? And he turned to Jim. He said, I saw something about it on the news last night. Is it just a fad, or is something happening to those kids? The question led to a lengthy and open discussion about Christianity. The elder couple didn't leave till late in the evening. Within weeks, Jim's father came to admit his drinking problem, turned for help to Jesus, and was completely healed. And he now joins the rest of the family in telling others what praising God can do. David tells us in this book, he said there ought to be 1% praying, 99% praising and thanking God. 1% praying, 99% praising and thanking God. That's the gospel that God's given us, is to praise him. Look at the Psalms. Go in the Psalms. You'll see praising God all through the Psalm, in the bad times and in the good times. Anybody got any comments? I got some over here too. I'm telling you, this is awesome. This is good stuff.
Yeah, I've been grooving on the Psalms this afternoon, listening to them. They're just awesome stuff. It's just raise your hands and praise the Lord.
You know what praise means? Praise, according to Webster's dictionary, means to extol, laud, honor, acclaim, express approval. So to praise, then, is to give positive affirmation, expressing our approval over something. And giving our approval means that we accept or agree with what we approve of. So to praise God for a difficult situation, a sickness, or disaster means literally that we accept and approve of it happening as part of God's plan for our lives. Let me read you something else. One couple heard me speak on, this is from Marlon Carruthers again. One couple heard me speak on praising God for everything and went home quite disturbed. For months they had grieved over the condition of their daughter who had been committed to a mental institution and had been diagnosed as hopelessly insane. Prayer groups across the country had been asked to intercede for her, and daily the parents had pleaded with God on their knees to heal their daughter. Her condition remained unchanged. their initial response to the challenge that they should praise God for the condition of their daughter had left them distraught and unhappy. But finally they decided, we ain't got nothing to lose, do we? Why don't we try it? They knelt together. They said, "Dear God," this is the husband, "we know that you love us and that you love our daughter even more than we do. So we're going to trust that you're working out in her life what you know is best for her. So we thank you for her sickness. We thank you that she's in the hospital. Thank you for the doctors who haven't found a way to help her. We praise you for your wisdom and love toward us." And the longer they prayed that day, the more they became convinced that God was indeed doing what was best. The next morning, the hospital psychiatrist called. He said, "Sir, there's been a remarkable change in your daughter." He said, "I suggest you come and see her." Within 2 weeks, she was released from the hospital. A year later, a young man came up to me after a meeting. He introduced himself as the girl's brother and told me that she was married, expecting a baby, and is the happiest girl in the world. That's what praising God will do for you when you get when you're seeking to get your prayers answered. Anybody got any comments? Come on now.
It's powerful, very powerful. Praise the Lord. I just want to say I do that too. You know, even like my car will break down, I'll say, "Lord, you know, I was planning on going to work today, but I guess I'm not, you know, and whatever, you know, reason this happened, I praise you. Thank you. Thank you for the experience. You know, thank you that I'm in the car shop and I get to witness to people now, you know, so I don't understand it, but hey, praise the Lord in all things."
Well, that's what the word says. So that's what we need to do, right? Praise God. It's put it in a different perspective. If we look at it in this area, that's what the word of God says. And I know, can y'all hear me? I know that we're supposed to believe in faith. Well, you can believe in faith one time when you pray, "Lord, I thank you that so-and-so and such-and-such is healed." We command, you know, healing, all that stuff, but that's one time. And then the rest of the time, go to praising God. "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I praise you, Father, that them two boys is coming to you, Lord. I thank you, Father, that them three girls is coming to you. I praise you, Father, that my husband's coming to you. I praise you, Father, that my wife is coming to you. You know, I thank you, Lord. I done prayed the prayer of faith, and I'm just giving you praise, Lord. It don't make no never mind what my eyeballs is looking at in the natural. They're coming in, and I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for the trials you're putting them in, because that's what's going to turn them, Lord." And that's the way we do. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what God wants you to do. You're giving God the glory for what's happening. Because what you see is nothing but hell going on in their life. Go ahead, Missy.
What the Lord brought to my mind recently, that he wanted me to do, he reminded me of this verse. "Always rejoice, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Isn't that praising? The word praise isn't in there, but that's, I can't hear you, Michael. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Look like you were
saying something. No, I wasn't saying nothing. No.
Yeah. You know, thanking the Lord and, yeah.
Yeah. God wants us to be thankful in everything. It don't make any difference how bad the situation looked. He wants us to praise him for it. How many of you know that Job was praising God? He wasn't putting nothing to God, was he? He wasn't putting any negativity toward God. It don't make any difference. If God takes me, I know that he's worthy of my praises. Praise you, Lord. Yeah, that's right, Missy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Does this make sense to anybody? Because it sure makes sense to me. It sure makes sense. Let's see here.
Michael.
Yes.
Please, maybe address the sacrifice of praise.
Okay, what's the difference? Hey, Malcolm.
Yeah.
Did you say maybe we should be saying sacrifice of praise?
No. I was asking if you might address the sacrifice of praise.
Well, absolutely. If you're feeling bad, you need a healing, but you've already prayed the prayer of faith, and you don't even feel like praising God, and do it anyway. Is that what I'd call a sacrifice of praise? What about y'all? What do you think it is, Malcolm?
Oh, maybe if a loved one passed away,
yep.
And you're grieving terribly, and you're still, and you praise God through that.
I've seen that happen. People come to Jesus. Yeah. It hurts, but we praise God for it. Go ahead, Pete.
That was, when you said that, when Malcolm brought up the sacrifice, I was thinking of the Old Testament sacrifice, the burnt offering and the wave offering, but the burnt offering, a sweet savor unto God. And so our praises are lifted up to heaven as a sweet savor. Something he can appreciate and work through.
Amen. Amen.
I heard somebody just comment that they felt that the sacrifice of praise was one of the deepest, most profound praises there are, or there is. Is our, but it just struck them as being one of the deepest things, most profound type of praise there is.
Yeah, I believe that, because you don't want to, you don't feel like it, but you know God, you love God, and that's what he enjoys. And when you do, you know what happens when you start praising God. I don't know if y'all have ever done this, but I've done it. And when you felt bad, when something bad has happened, and you just praise God, and you continually praise God until that oppression and that depression leaves you. And that happens, you know. When you praise God, that oppression and depression will leave you every time. And just pray in the Spirit, you know. That's always helped me now. It's always helped me. All right, here's another one. I think the page turned on me. A mother came and wanted prayer for her daughter, who was a go-go dancer in a nightclub. I told her I would be glad to pray with her and thank God for her daughter's situation. Now, boy, that'd be an interesting way to pray, wouldn't it? She looked at me in horror. Don't tell me I'm supposed to thank God that my daughter mocks common decency and laughs at religion. The mother was faced with a difficult situation. All her life, she had been conditioned to thank God for everything good and blame the devil for everything bad. Together, we searched the pages of my Bible for verses stating that God is able to work all things for good to those who love and trust him, and that he wants us to be thankful in everything, regardless of how bad our situation appears. Now, you can go on thinking that your daughter's situation is controlled by the devil, and by your lack of faith in God's supreme power, make it difficult for him to work out his perfect plan for her, or you can believe that God is at work. Thank him for everything, and thereby release his power to work in her life. Well, at last, the mother, in all her infinite wisdom, agreed to try. I don't understand why it has to be this way, she said, but I'm going to trust that God knows what he's doing, and I'm going to thank him for it. So we prayed together, And the mother went away with a new peace in her heart about the whole situation. Later, she told me what happened. That same night, her daughter was dancing nearly nude on her little platform when a young man came into the nightclub. He walked up to the girl, looked straight at her, and said, "Jesus really loves you." The go-go dancer was used to hearing all kinds of remarks from young men, but never anything like this. She came down from her platform, sat down with the young man at a table, and asked, "Why did you say that?" He explained that he happened to be walking down the street when he felt that God was urging him to go into that particular nightclub and tell the go-go dancer that Jesus Christ was offering her the free gift of eternal life. Stunned, the girl looked at him. Then tears filled her eyes, and quietly she said, "I'd like to receive that gift." And she did, right there at the table in the nightclub. Praising God is not a magic formula for success. It is a way of life that is solidly backed up in God's word. We praise God not for the expected results, but for the situation just as it is. And as long as we praise God with an eye secretly looking for the expected results, we're only kidding ourselves and nothing will happen to change us or our situation. Praise is based on a total and joyful acceptance of the present as part of God's loving, perfect will for us. Praise is not based on what we think or hope will happen in the future. We praise God not for what we expect will happen in or around us, but we praise him for what he is and where and how we are right now. Praise God. That's right. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody got anything you want to add to it? Now, I'm not saying that Romans 4 and 17 ain't still in effect. It is.
Is that you're reading from the Power of the Tongue book?
No, I'm reading from something else here. It's called Power in Praise by Merlin Carruthers. He wrote this many years ago. He also wrote Praise in Prison or something like that. But yeah, we still believe, don't we? We still believe, but he's talking about praising God in the bad situation, praising God for the circumstances that we're in, praising God because you got a grandson or a son out there that's doing drugs or something, because God, we know that God's going to take him to that point to where he's going to look up and call after God. We know it. We know that God's going to protect him. That's the faith that we have. We know God's going to protect them. We know God's working in their life and going to bring them into Jesus. Ooh, I'll tell you what. We're going to, just like that, Tommy Hicks saw that, talked about that couple in Nigeria going in that hut and with the spoken word, with faith, bringing people to life. Been dead for 3 days. And we just praise God. Because it's going to happen. Go ahead, Missy.
That's a book you were reading from?
Now, I'm going to say it one more time so everybody can get this. Yeah, there it is.
I found online, but it's a book.
Power in Praise. And you can go online and just Google it. Power in Praise by Merlin R. Carruthers. Carotheres. I think we even may have it on site. I think he mentions it in the books that you need to read. I think the one on site is called Power in Prison or something, or Praise in Prison or something like it. Prison in Praise. Or, I don't know.
From Prison to Praise.
Yeah, okay. From Prison to Praise.
Hey, I was going to say, you know, we got an example of Job when his wife came and said to him, "Curse God." And he said, "You don't know what you're talking about. Shall we accept the good from God and not the evil also?" So he never once accused God of being doing wrong on him, but he praised him.
Amen. He sure did. And what happened when he got him, when he kept on praising him? He turned out better the last time than he did the first.
Now, what you said earlier, when he, what Merlin said, was the praise was not to, like, an imagination, like you're going for something that you're seeing happen. It was praising him for what you were, what everything was the way it was.
In the present tense, yes.
Yeah, and not necessarily what you wanted it to be, what you were thinking. You weren't praising for that. You're praising for everything the way it is.
In the present tense, that's what he said. He said in the present time, right now, you're just praising because if you're going through a process now, if you're going through a trial now, you know, praise him for it. Thank you, Lord, that I don't know why I'm going through it, but I know you're going to reveal that to me, and I thank you for it, Lord, because I know it's going to be for my better. You're just maturing me, praise God, and I thank you for it, Lord. And watch what happened. Then I tell you what, I'm going to put that in practice here shortly. I've been doing it off and on, but I you know, we kind of get sidetracked sometimes. I do. I got, and I'm not going to get sidetracked no more. You understand that? I'm speaking by faith in. I ain't getting sidetracked now another time. Lord God. All right. I'm going to mute you, Missy. I hear a fudge sickle going off in there. That's all right. I thought that was a demon there at first, but I had to cast that demon out.
I thought she was throwing that dog around for a while.
You know we love you. It's just a dog we have problems with. No, I'm just kidding. Listen to this. Listen to this one, y'all. Y'all want to hear another? You want to hear another testimony? Andrea, you want to hear another testimony? Okay. All right. A Christian woman who had been married to an alcoholic for many years until finally he got into trouble with the law and ended up in prison. The wife had struggled to raise their children on the meager welfare allowance they received from the state. Faithfully, she had brought them to church and enjoyed the sympathy and respect of her community. Poor Edna, her friends would say, she's raised those old kids alone. Never missed a Sunday in church, never a word of complaint. While that good-for-nothing husband of hers never had been able to hold down a job, blind drunk most of the time to the disgrace and shame of his fine family. While her husband was in prison, Edna felt justified in getting a divorce. Now at last she would be free to raise her children in a better environment. And one day, a friend brought her a copy of Prison to Praise. It seemed an almost impossible task to thank God for all the years of misery she had suffered. But she read how praise had changed the lives of others. She decided to try. Thank you for Al and his drinking, she prayed. Thank you for the years of poverty and fear and loneliness. Soon, she heard that her former husband had been released from prison and had gone back to his old drinking habits. Still, she continued to thank God for her circumstances, and slowly she became aware of some things in her own life that she had never seen before. As she continued to thank God for her ex-husband, asking God to help her love him and accept him just as he was, she began to realize that for years she'd been guilty, check this out, of something far more serious than drinking. She'd been looking at the mote in her husband's eye and been totally unaware of the beam in her own. She had judged him for his drinking, feeling self-righteous and worthier than he was, and at the same time she'd lived each day steeped in self-pity, depression, and joyless martyrdom. Oh, pity me. So she, oh Lord, she finally cried out one day, I see that my sin has been so much graver than Al's. You gave us the commandments to love one another and to rejoice in our trials, and I didn't love or find any joy. Forgive me, Lord, and thank you for putting Al in my life so I could see myself. Now make it up to him. Heal the hurts he's suffered and touch him with your love. And from that day on, Edna found it easy to rejoice in her circumstances. She knew God had brought them about as a part of his plan to fill her life with love and joy. And as she continued to praise him, all the old feelings of self-pity and depression rolled away. Each day became a new, joyous experience, and she was aware of the presence of Jesus in a new and exciting way. And before long, her former husband stumbled into a church service, accepted Jesus as his Savior, and was completely healed of the alcoholism which had held him bound for 15 years. Edna and Al remarried, and Al enrolled in college to start a brand new life of serving God. A difficult relationship or a trying set of circumstances may be God's loving way of providing us with an opportunity to grow, to exercise our spiritual muscles, or it may be his loving way of exposing a particular weakness or error in us. Whatever the reasons, we have grounds to rejoice. Any weakness, however well hidden, is like a crack in the foundation of a building. Sooner or later, a crack in the foundation will cause the entire building to fall down. And the cracks we're aware of, we can do something about. And we can confess all our known sins and weaknesses and be assured that once they are confessed, they're forgiven. And God's love covers and heals the scars and the memories. Well, what about the hidden cracks, the hidden sins that come to the surface only as a vague sense of restlessness, insecurity, confusion, resentment, or any number of such symptoms we all know from experience? Self-reliance and self-assurance are always serious cracks in our foundation. If God brings us into circumstances that reveal an area of life where we've been relying on ourselves, shouldn't we thank him for our helplessness and rejoice in the power he can give us? Praise God. Absolutely. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody disagree with anything we said tonight? Come on now. Hey, anybody got anything they'd like to share? You hear another? One more. One more. I'm just going to give you one more. Then we're going to talk about it. A young man in officer's training at Fort Benning. By the way, Merlin Carruthers also was a chaplain in the Army for a period of time. A young man in officer's training at Fort Benning, Georgia, found himself in circumstances he couldn't cope with. He said, "I need help, or I'll go out of my mind," he told me. He'd always been sure he could face every circumstance in life with success. His self-assurance bordered on cockiness, but since coming to Officer Kennedy School, he had found himself unable to function as before, and his self-image and entire outlook on life was shattered. The rigorous training for officer candidates is designed not only to teach young men their duties as Army officers, but is also meant to expose any weakness in the candidate that might endanger the lives of his men in combat. A certain stress is deliberately put on the candidates to test what stuff they're made of, and if any are going to crack under pressure. And it's better to find out before they're put in charge of troops than it is. The instructors had sensed that this particular candidate was unsure of himself under the mask of self-sufficiency he wore. The pressure had been put on. From early morning until late at night, he was under surveillance. Every move he made was criticized. "Can't you move faster, candidate? Are you too dumb to follow instruction? Do you want your mother to help you? Run around the building once more, candidate, and maybe you'll learn to pick up your feet." You know, and that's the way they did. The confidence the candidate had felt in himself was rapidly diminishing. Humiliated and helpless, he was at his wit's end, ready to desert the army and leave the country, if necessary, to get away from his persecutors. As we talked, sound like a spirit of rejection, don't it? As we talked, he told me that he'd never really believed in God, and the Bible had never made much sense to him. But if there was a God who could help him, he wanted to believe. And I shared with him what the Bible had to say about his circumstances, that God had a perfect plan for his life, that the trials he was going through were part of that plan, and that God would relieve all the tension and stress if he would only turn over the reins of his life to him and thank him for everything. The candidate looked drawn. His face and eyes showed the strain and lack of sleep. He said, I've never been in this kind of spot before. And he shook his head. I'm at the end of my rope. And now you're telling me that God placed me in this predicament. Let's say that God allowed it to happen, I said. I'm sure he would rather have had you turn to him and accept his provisions for your life without having to go through all this suffering. But since you kept insisting you could handle your life without help, God chose the most direct, most loving way to show you that you needed him. The candidate looked thoughtful and agreed to let me pray for him, although he wasn't at all sure it would do any good. I placed my hand on his head and began to praise God for the situation, asking God to give the young candidate a new understanding of his love and concern for every detail of his life. As I prayed, he began to tremble, and then tears began to flow. After a while, he began to laugh out loud. Praise you, God, he cried. Thank you, God. I see you care. I believe you love me. And he turned to me, his face beaming. God really did bring me to officer candidate school, didn't he? He said. He knew this is where I'd find the answer. I feel like a new person. And indeed he was. He accepted Jesus as his Savior, went on to complete OCS with excellent standing. The crisis point in his life had revealed a serious crack in his foundation. When he could acknowledge and thank God for his hand in the circumstances, the crack was healed. Circumstances that rip out the walls of our own self-sufficiency are God's blessings in disguise. We can truly thank God for and praise him for every blow that removes more of the illusion that we have the ability to handle our own situation. And the more we praise him, the easier the transition will be. Did you hear that? The more we praise him, the easier the transition will be. Our joy will increase, and the pain will hardly be noticeable. We'll also discover that the more trying the circumstances, the more we will realize the real strength and power of Christ dwelling and growing in us. Each challenge, each trial or opportunity for growth makes us better equipped to be channels for his love and power. Praise God. Anybody got any comments?
Malcolm here.
Hey, Malcolm here.
Hi. I'm looking at the book Prison to Praise, and I'm trying to remember where I got that. I think it was a fellowship. Well, frankly, all the fellowships that I was involved in were at least tagged with the false revival stuff. But they were handing this particular book out like candy, and it really. It was some shocking stuff I read in there about speaking in tongues and whatnot. Because he goes into a lot of his experience in that book, Prison to Praise, where he was baptized in the Holy Spirit and then was launched on his way and started learning how to walk by faith and learning to praise the Lord. But, man, I can't remember specifically where it was that I got that. It just makes me, you know, sad that because I think a lot of folks were involved with at least some element of the false revival, and that they were you know, really earnestly seeking the Lord. I think a lot, some of it is just ignorance. So anyway, just it just makes you sad, but we can just still pray, you know, use these same principles and pray for them too.
Amen, because we were kind of talking about that a little bit this morning. Even he can always get some good truth. Excuse me. Even out of false prophets and stuff, you know, they come up with some truth. You just take the good and forget the bad. Just like brought up this morning that Jesse Duplantis is begging for his people to give him $75 million for a plane that would fly all over the world with nonstop without having to stop and fuel up. You know, that's a waste of time and waste of money. And that's the way he put it. And that breaks your heart. He comes out of the faith movement under Kenneth Hagin. Hagin got in error himself on the prosperity message, but he repented of it before he died. And he called all of those evangelists in there at one time. Copeland and Duplantis and Creflo Dollar, and I think Joyce Myers was part of it. All of those people that were mentored by him and told him they needed to repent because it was false doctrine. And he repented of that, and he repented of the false revival and had them, wanted them to repent of it. None of them ever did, that I know of. Now, some of them may have that I don't know about, but I know that Copeland and Duplantis and Dollar didn't, Myers either. But anyway, haven't yet anyway. I just pray that God would work in their lives too and repent, and they give that money to the people who need it. Read here not too long ago that Kenneth Copeland is worth $750 million. Are you kidding me? $750 million? And all the people that are starving? Give me a break. I don't know. You know, I'm not, it goes against what the Word of God says. Don't store up for yourself.
Who's worth $750 million?
Kenneth Copeland. And he ain't the richest one.
That's crazy.
Well, praise God, you know. That money is to be used to help folks, to feed the orphans and the widows, that's what the Lord said. So if you got to see a brother in need, you turn your back on it. It's not good. There's a lot of people out there in a lot of need. But anyway, let's get back to praising God and thanking God for things that everything. Praising God for everything. Praise God. Anybody got any comments or suggestions or what? Whatever. Ain't nobody got nothing to say about praise and worship and thank you and all of that. Come on now. You got it.
I'm almost thinking we need to pray for some of these people that have all this money.
Lord, I thank you for the place you're going to put them in so they'll repent in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Absolutely.
Lord, you will put them in that place. I know you've got this place for one reason or another, and I think some of it is to test people out there. I believe it's to test people to see how they're going to believe the Word of God or they're going to believe these false preachers. So Lord, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else want to pray?
Yeah, Lord, I would just ask that, you know, I would ask that they would, anybody that's involved in this kind of ministry, you know, I ask that you maybe give them some grace to let you see who you really are. Because apparently they, if they're there for the money and not for you, Lord, we know that's not going to end up well. And not that I didn't know this stuff was going on, it's all naive, but you know, Lord, you give grace. And these are the last times, and I surely don't want to see anybody go to hell any more than anybody else wants to see anybody go to hell. If you were able to grant grace and so that these men could turn to be a witness for your power to change their lives, I would ask for that, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. I agree, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
So what are we praying for this sister, Tracy? She needs a car. What else are we praying on? Can you talk? No. All right. Just a car, that's it.
Amen. Novalette.
Hi, guys.
Hey, girl. What's going on?
I don't even know where to start, but all I can say is ministering the word of God gets you in all sorts of situations, you know. And I'm just feeling a bit drained, totally drained. Drained from trying to just doing the right thing every day. And I've just lost my car right now. It's in the garage. And they're not sure what's wrong with it. it's not easy because I live in a small village and you do have to be driving. So it's really difficult for me at the moment. It's just getting me down, you know. I can't sleep. You know. I know my Father sees and he knows, and I do trust him, and I do know that he's in charge. But physically, I am just feeling that I need some prayer.
Okay.
I cannot pray on my own.
Let's pray. Father, we lift up Sister Nolan here to you, Lord. We know that you hear her, Lord. We know that you hear her prayers. And Father, we're going to pray the prayer of faith for her, and then we're going to thank you for it. And we know that you're going to come through for her. God, Father, we pray. All she's going to do is just praise you for the answer. We command that car to work like it's supposed to in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that when she gets ready to go wherever it is she's got to go, that car is going to respond. And Father, we praise you for it, Lord. I don't know how you're going to fix it. It's not my problem. All I know is you're going to fix it.
Yes.
You're going to fix this problem that she has with the car in Jesus' name. Amen. And Father, I thank you for it because you put her in a place to where she doesn't have any place else to go but you, Lord. Now all she needs to do now is just praise you, Father.
Mm.
And thank you for the work that you're doing in her to get rid of whatever it is that she needs, a reliance on man or whatever. But she needs to put her faith on you. We do. We praise you with her, Lord.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, that you have anointed her to praise you and thank you with joy in her heart because she knows that you've got her in this place for one reason, and that's to mature her.
Yes.
And Father, we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Everybody believe that?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we just praise you. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, for the way that you, for the place that you have Novalette in. And we thank you for it, Father. Just praise your holy name. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. We just praise your holy name, Lord. Thank you for Novalette.
Thank you.
Thank you for it, God. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, we just praise you, Lord, that she's going to be fine. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, praise you for your work.
Amen.
Praise you for your supply, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. I believe it. And I'm thanking God for it.
I receive it.
Amen.
Michael, we get to use what we just learned.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's phenomenal.
Praising God. We're going to see a turnaround and all let's walk with the Lord.
Yes, God.
Mm-hmm. We're going to see a great turnaround here.
I believe. I do believe.
Amen.
It would be praise nice if she had a one of those short testimonies, you know, that you could give her that she would know what we're talking about.
Have you been listening very long tonight?
No, I just came on.
Okay. Well, what we're talking about is power in praise, okay?
Yes.
How God uses our praise. We should be praying 1% of the time, praising God 99% of the time. We pray one time, then we start praising God. And that's all we do. We just praise Him from that point on. Just read the Psalms. You'll understand that praise was an integral part of God's people. What did they do when the people went out to fight the armies from the north, the south, and the east? You remember what happened? They didn't go out. They didn't send the artillery out there first. They didn't send the tanks out there first. They didn't send the big guns out there first. They sent the praise and washed the praise people out there first. And what happened? God defeated the enemy for them. They didn't have to fire a shot. They didn't have to fire a shot. God created confusion in the enemy's camp. They started fighting one another, and they fought one another till the last one died. And that's what we do. We just praise God in spite of everything around us. It looks like it's them, but for God, we're at our weakest, but He's at our strongest when we are at our weakest. That's what Paul said.
Yes.
And so that's what we do. We just praise God. Let me just tell you a little story here. One young woman lost her husband suddenly. They had no children, and she felt indescribably lonely. When she went to seek comfort and sympathy from her own family, they refused to speak to her and believed as if she didn't, or behaved as if she didn't exist. She couldn't understand this total rejection. Her family had never treated her like this before. And the anguish of being alone and unwanted was more than she could bear. Her body was in pain. She was unable to sleep. And she began to lose weight rapidly. Day and night, she cried alone in her house until she began to lose track of time. She realized that her mind was slipping. Then one day, she saw Prison to Praise in a local bookstore. And she read on the back cover that the author was an army chaplain and put the book back on the counter. Her husband had been in the army when he died, and she was afraid of a fresh flood of memories, and she went home empty-handed. But the title of the little book stayed in her mind all day, and one thought persisted. Read it! Read it! She had never felt such an urge to read anything before, and puzzled by the sense of urgency, she went back to the bookstore and purchased the little volume. At home, she began to read, and soon her tears started flowing. She was certain that God was speaking directly to her through the book, yet the message was an incredible one. Was He actually telling her to thank Him that her husband was dead? How could God be so cruel? Everything in her seemed to rebel against the idea. Yet, as she read on, her sob became more quiet, and a new peace entered her heart. Slowly, her thoughts began to take a new turn. God has been in everything to help me, she thought. He knew that with my husband alive, I would never have sought Him. If my brother and his family had comforted me with kindness and love, I would have clung to them. Now I'm completely alone, and I'm coming to God. Oh, Jesus, I feel Your presence. You're here with me, and I praise and thank God for everything that brought me to You. The peace she felt in her heart was greater than anything she'd ever known before, and for the next several days her life radiated with a joy that astounded her friends and neighbors who had watched with growing concern how she had been broken down by grief. And soon her brother came to see her with a tearful confession. "Can you forgive me?" he said. "There's been a terrible misunderstanding. Someone told us that you had told your neighbor that we had refused to give you any help when your husband was dying. And we were foolish enough to believe him and felt so shocked and hurt that we didn't want to see you or talk to you." And the brother was overcome with shame. "Today, we heard that the people had been talking about another widow, and to think that we left you alone when you needed us the most." And the young widow cheerfully replied, "Don't be sorry. Be thankful you made the mistake." "What do you mean, sis?" The brother was not sure he'd heard right. "I let you down when you really needed me. Do you want me to thank God for that?" "That's right," she laughed. "If you hadn't turned your back on me, I wouldn't have discovered just how much God loves me." 1 Peter 2:19 and 20 said, "This is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if when you buffeted by your fault, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." Amen. Praise the Lord. That's the way we're supposed to do it. Nothing should ever bother us. Nothing. Death in the family shouldn't bother you. Be praying for your folks, you know, household salvation. Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, I was just remembering, because I read again this week, and I can't remember where, I can find it, where Paul was praised, basically saying Christ's power was made perfect in his weakness. He was going through suffering, you know, because that was the only way God could come through Paul and show his power, was he had to make Paul weak. And he praised God for that weakness. And it was all through trials.
Yeah, I think that's in 2 Corinthians. Maybe 12 or somewhere. Amen. This is a new outlook for our walk here now. You know, I've been thanking God. I've been doing it, but not to the extent that Merlin Carruthers is talking about. To thank God in the present condition that you're in because it's for your own good. That's another way to look at things, you know.
I think it's hard. It's difficult for us to get in that place where we have to be comfortable being weak, comfortable where we're in a situation we don't want to be in, we have no control on, we have to depend upon God. But that's where God wants us to be in our life, so we walk by faith.
Amen.
It's the only way we learn it is by going through it.
Mm-hmm. That time me and David slipped down the hill over there in that truck backwards on that ice, I was in that same position. We were both in that same position Paul was in. We was at our weakest. We couldn't do nothing. That truck was going where it wanted to. We didn't have nothing to do with it. We were screaming it out, too, I'm telling you. Thank you, Jesus, for taking care of. Thank you, Lord, for your protection. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. We were doing that. I'm telling you, both of us were. Oh, praise you, Lord. We had our weakest. This time, Lord, you show your strength. That's what happened. Praise God. And he did. He came through for it. He always does, doesn't he? Praise God. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? Hey, come on, man. Well, all right. I want to close out.
I just want to say thanks for sharing those stories because they were encouraging.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very good. And I know that Dave understands that sliding down the hill because he's experienced that hill.
Well, you know, I was feeling guilty. No. I was feeling guilty. There was a day in my younger years I used to enjoy that.
I don't think you would enjoy what Dave and I went through going down that hill. When we stopped down there at the hill, he jumped out and went back at the back. And he said, come here, you got to look at this. I said, you got to come up here and pry my hands off his steering wheel first. My hands were welding on that steering wheel. I ain't moving. Praise God. I want to close tonight with this prayer, Leon, that we said today, that David has in the back of this book, The Tongue Conquers the Curse, because it's an awesome prayer, and I think you'll all agree with me that it'll help us if we pray like this. Father, by your grace, we ask that you manifest in us the gift that Jesus gave us on the cross. Would you enable it in us, dear Father, to speak the words of the kingdom? I'm going to have to mute y'all because I'm getting some feedback here. Lord, you said that your spirit will bring to our remembrance all things that you have said unto us in John 14:26. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to be slow to speak and quick to listen to the voice of your spirit and quick to hear the promises and the word that comes up in our heart when we let your spirit speak to us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the grace, anointing, and the fullness of your spirit to walk and speak the words of the kingdom, to represent Jesus Christ, to be an oracle of God, to be one who is used by your spirit to speak your words. This is what we claim in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your grace, Lord. We ask, Lord, as we go forth, that your spirit would be constantly with us, reminding us to agree with your healing, deliverance, provisions, holiness, and all things you have said. You said you would supply our every need according to your riches in glory in Philippians 4:19. So let our speech agree with the promises of all things that you have given unto us, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We depend upon you, Lord. We depend upon your grace. Work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. Father, we know if your will is working in us, we are free. For as Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In John 8:32. Lord, we're torn between your will and our will. Sanctify us to your will alone. Then we will be free. For you always get your will, and you always get your way. We desire, Lord, to desire and remember the things of the kingdom and to speak the things of the kingdom so that your life would be manifested out of us and we would have good success in conquering this promised land. And then the Lord Jesus would live in us. He through us, would be what he was in the world 2,000 years ago. He, through us, can continue to go forth to meet the needs of the brethren and to speak the blessings and not the curses. And we thank you, Father. Please let no corrupt speech proceed out of our mouth, Ephesians 4:29. Thank you for going forth and anointing the true disciples who are out there and blessing them with the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, it's your anointing that breaks the yoke, and we desire earnestly to have the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives. We ask you, Lord, to fill multitudes out there with the power of your latter rain soon so they may walk in the Spirit and it would be natural to them. Jesus said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you shall be my witnesses in Acts 1:8. Lord, we want to be a witness of your life to the whole world so that when they look at us, they see Jesus in us. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you for your light that's shining in every one of them. That people, when they walk up and down the streets, they see us as a beacon of Jesus. That ain't nothing but light shines out of each one of us. And Father, I thank you for the authority and the power that backs up that authority that you've given every walking true man and woman of God. Lord, that when they go out and your Holy Spirit says, lay your hand on them, I want to heal them. And they'll be healed instantly. Father, I thank you for that. And deliverance the same way. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in all of us. We long for revival in the days ahead, Lord. We know we're going to populate heaven in the days ahead with your disciples who teach other people to be disciples. And they teach other people to be disciples. And it just progresses exponentially. And Father, we just praise you and thank you that you're going to be with us in the days ahead until we meet again. In Jesus' name. Well, good night, folks, and God bless you.
Good night, all.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.